Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
I'm Doug McBurney. I'm here. I need help with my geopolitical compass.
We're going to go around the world in 60 seconds.
Absolutely.
Then into space.
Out and out in outer space. And then we might even land in Arvada at some point. It's possible.
That's right.
So I want to start with Turkey because it was very strange.
We've got Turkey, North Korea, France.
Turkey, North Korea, then we've got France.
I was looking at your show prep.
Oh, yeah.
So Turkey.
Turkey.
Surprising that Donald Trump congratulated Erdogan, the president over there.
That was strange.
You know, we've been to Turkey. We have a Bible tour of Turkey.
Oh, yeah.
Noah's Ark very well may have come to rest in eastern Turkey on Mount Ararat.
Yes.
And the archaeology around there. I'd love to interview an expert. We might do that in a month or two. An expert on all the archaeology around eastern Turkey, Armenia. It's all stunning how it relates to the early chapters of Genesis. At any rate, Erdogan is basically an Islamist. In the country, he's arrested tens of thousands of Turks back from the coup last summer. And a number have been killed, apparently, although the death penalty has been against the law. He introduced an initiative to give him tremendous power to basically further Islamicize the country.
That's what it seems like, yes.
And it passed.
It did.
And Trump then congratulates him, which is bizarre because Turkey is where ISIS was about 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's really...
They're on that same trajectory
in
an intense Islamic society. So basically, they're on the path to cutting ties with the EU. They've always wanted to be part of the EU, but they only were doing that as a ploy to further their own goals. So now they don't even care about that. Anyway, it's a disaster over there in Turkey. We wanted to go there this past year, and it's just too...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you can't go
for Christian Westerners.
You end up in a Turkish prison.
That'd be bad.
Yeah. And why is Donald Trump congratulating this guy? I don't get it. It's a bit schizophrenic, it seems like.
Well, because they are willing to help us fight against ISIS.
Really?
You know, the Muslims, they kill more Muslims than anyone else.
I hadn't thought of that.
And so we do appreciate help fighting ISIS, but congratulating Erdogan on the Islamic takeover of what was a reasonably secular government there in Turkey until recently.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Erdogan's only going to help us fight a certain group of Islamists.
Certain segment.
Yeah, certain segment that they happen to be fighting because they're always fighting each other.
Right.
Well, at least that explains part of it because I thought it was very strange.
Yeah.
Donald Trump has not called Kim Jong-un to congratulate him on his failed missile test.
Or his failed birthday. So, Doug, you know, if I were king.
Yes, I love that.
Being president is not good enough. You got to be king.
Yes.
If you want to get anything done.
I think so.
But if I were king, I would contact the four nations round about North Korea.
Russia, China, South Korea,
and Japan. And I'd say, in 2 weeks, we're going in, we're attacking, specifically to take out the strongest threats they have towards South Korea, especially. And if you want in, you could come in. You know, your military, it needs live fire exercises.
That's right.
We know this is true.
Yeah.
And this is a perfect opportunity to take nuclear weapons away from a madman who has no right. The world does not have to tolerate this kind of risk.
Amen.
Right. It's the same reason that we shouldn't have to tolerate people being drunk in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
Madmen shouldn't be allowed to have nuclear weapons. So I'd say this, we're letting these nations know we're going in 2 weeks. And probably at least half of those groups will participate.
Let's see, Japan and South Korea would probably be on board. Now, there would be some pushback from Russia and China, but that's where Donald Trump's negotiation skills comes in. You send him a watch,
and you know,
ties.
To these nations, how they appear on the world stage is so much to them.
Oh, huge.
Oh, right. Yeah. Especially...
Putin's got to be the biggest egomaniac in the world with the naked chest and the bears.
Yeah, but it's almost like he has an inferiority complex. He's so desperate for everyone to think he's a big shot.
This does seem true.
And so to have this important event happen and the Russian military not be able to participate. So I'd say there's a chance they might agree. And then if all five nations attacked simultaneously in 1 hour, it could be over in a day or two.
Right. And with minimal civilian casualties.
Yeah, because you're targeting all military, not the entire military infrastructure, because a lot of it is so degraded. It's falling apart.
Yeah.
But the stuff that's the greatest threat to South Korea and to Japan.
Now, what about the aftermath if China does not want to give the northern half of the peninsula back to the south? How do you manage that? Dinner party? You invite them over? Golf match? And then I don't think the Chinese could resist it. I think the South would naturally, I think it would happen. I think it would be too much momentum.
Yeah, this isn't the 1940s.
No, I hope not. Right. I hope not. Right. Although France, it's a lot like 1932 with the communists against the nationalists now.
So we're up to France.
We're down to France.
Why don't we just skip France?
All right.
I mean, who cares?
Let me scratch that off.
Let's just skip France.
Yeah, should we talk about this execution in Arkansas? I have to confess, I made a failed prediction.
Yeah, that's
fail. And I said, if I'm wrong, I'll be happy to be wrong.
So Arkansas executed one of, they've got quite a list of men on death row that they needed to execute by the end of this month because the drugs were expiring, the lethal drugs,
and
the
you
cocktail.
Don't, and there's a chance you could cause untoward side effects if you were to use the drugs beyond their expiration date. My wife and I were trying to figure out, how do you correct that? Does that mean they didn't die and you have to kill them? Is it the drug didn't work? How does that work?
It's like we live in such a bizarre world. First, they take an alcohol swab and they swab the inmate's arm so he doesn't get an infection.
Right.
And then they have to use a new needle.
Of course.
I mean, why not use the same needle for 25 years?
That's
on
it.
Whoever.
Yes. I like
just
that.
Call it old Rusty.
Yeah,
right?
Like old Sparky was the old reliable
electric chair. Yeah.
Old Rusty would be the needle that never fails.
So they were, a judge stepped in.
Well, they were going to execute, if I'm not mistaken, 8 men in 11 days. And then the judges stepped in and they've been delaying and using illegal maneuvers. And I thought there wouldn't be an execution in Arkansas for 3 months. That was my prediction.
Yeah, but anyway,
but they
it
got
was
one
good.
Done.
This is good. The righteous rejoice when they see the vengeance, the Bible says.
And by the way, I'm not just happy that this man was put to death. That's not it. This man, by the way, he struck a woman in the head and shoulders 36 times with a tire iron and killed her. That's what he did.
Liberals don't care about that.
Well, I care.
When somebody commits a crime, liberals have some kind of an affinity toward them.
Isn't that weird?
If you were to kill a dog, then many of them have said, you know, in anger, but they say it should be the death penalty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you kill an animal.
Yes.
Or if you cut down a tree. But if you kill a dog, that's why the way that conservatives have argued about the threat of North Korea, they've been way off base. It's ineffective. You don't say that North Korea could wipe out an American city. You say that very few endangered species can survive a direct nuclear hit.
That'll do it. Yeah.
Very few endangered species.
Yeah, right.
So that's why you got to stop Kim Jong-un.
Well,
not because he could wipe out a city of human beings, but because he would hurt the animals.
Yeah, that's it.
And then
that's
they'd be on board.
Yep. Get the liberals all lined up.
Yeah.
Now, I heard that while I was away that you talked about the discovery of a peanut asteroid.
Another.
I'm looking at a jar of Skippy right here on the table just by chance. That wasn't planned.
And do you see the unshelled Skippy peanuts?
Super chunk.
You see what they look like.
Wow.
Now, yeah. Doug, super look crunchy. At this on my, I pulled up for you to see it. Itokawa, this peanut-shelled asteroid.
All right.
Not peanut.
Look at that.
This peanut-shaped asteroid. I mean, it almost looks exactly like Skippy. They just just modeled it after
that.
Itokawa, the asteroid.
That really does look like a peanut.
So on the entire internet, you're only going to find one place where there is a list of peanut-shelled asteroids. It's on Real Science Radio.
Yeah. That's
Bob and Your Live, KGov.com.
And it's such a momentous thing. You're the only outfit covering it.
Well,
we're the only ones.
So you were not here.
I want to know, why is it controversial? First of all, it's odd that an asteroid looks like a peanut. I'll give you that. That's pretty strange. But why is there any controversy, or what's the interesting thing about this?
Well, Doug, I don't know if I should give you my opinion or NASA's opinion.
Well, I respect your opinion more, right. But I think getting NASA's out there would help.
All right. Well, here's how I would say, if it were me.
Okay.
All right. Picture the two lobes of a peanut-shaped asteroid.
Yep.
It'd be like two objects in space traveling 4,000 miles per hour, mm-hmm. and they collide. They should blast one another into smithereens. Instead, they just nuzzle up to each other and connect.
Ah, so this is
it shouldn't happen.
Yeah, this is the Big Bang evolutionary theory for the formation of
asteroids.
Is these two bodies collide?
Yeah, and this shouldn't happen based on their worldview.
Yeah,
because asteroids, 4.5 billion years old.
Yeah.
And their orbits are all randomized.
Right.
And so you've got these things that they think they're each billions of years old, the two halves.
Yeah.
And somehow they come at each other at an average velocity of over 4,000 miles per hour. They shouldn't just connect. That violates the laws of physics. It's virtually impossible for them to connect. As was reported, the latest asteroid to pass by, it's called JO25. They just realized it came so close.
Yeah.
And they were able to get a good look at it. And sure enough, it's another peanut-shaped asteroid.
Which means it was two different bodies at some point that somehow
that
coalesced.
Connected. And we understand why and how that happens because of the origin of asteroids. So we've created a list of peanut-shaped asteroids on our website, kgov.com. And it's just hysterical, Doug. If people want to see the list, they go to kgov.com/lists, and they'll click on the peanut-shaped asteroid list.
Yep.
And there it is. And we list all the ones known so far. And, you know, there's not hundreds, but there's about 10 of them so far, and there should be none.
Mm.
And so we are saying that this is way more common than the astronomers would ever have imagined because they're wrong on their billion-year origin of asteroids.
Ah, yes. And if you have read in the beginning, or if you've watched the global flood hydroplate theory, you know that there is a competing theory by which it would be assumed you probably would find some peanut-shaped.
Yeah. Walt Brown's model of the global flood, the fountains of the Great Deep that broke open and left the Earth cracked, the crust of the Earth, the mid-oceanic ridge. Well, boulders, rocks, debris shot up out of that rupture of the Earth's crust from 60 miles below the subterranean chamber. And some of that debris reached escape velocity. And so you had rounded boulders by the millions flying out into space.
Yeah.
And those that were ejected in the same pulse, they were all going in the same direction at the same speed. And so they tended by their mutual gravity to coalesce into, now we know that asteroids are formed by millions of rounded boulders that don't form in space.
Oh.
They don't form in space.
Maybe that's
how do you
why
get rounded boulders in space? But you get rounded boulders from a flood.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's why the peanut-shaped asteroid looks lumpy. It looks kind of lumpy.
Well, yeah, we've got close-ups.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Of Comet 67P.
It's very
cool. You can
cool.
see, yeah. And you can see deep into the comet because a meteoroid struck the comet and left a big gash in it. You can mm-hmm. see layer after layer after layer of thousands of rounded boulders, like 10 feet in diameter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just awesome.
That's really cool.
So that happened while you were gone, that news.
And that's real science there.
Yeah.
Just like you do every Friday on Real Science Radio.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't Real Science Radio, but I have to ask you about the March for Science. I understand.
Oh, yeah.
I understand they had a March for Science here in Denver. They had one in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
San Francisco.
My wife and I, Cheryl and I, we were there for the aftermath of the march.
Oh.
And saw families with little kids carrying their signs.
Oh, yes.
You know, science matter. Now, I don't understand why I wasn't invited to speak.
I would have thought so. The name of the show is Real Science
Real
Radio.
Real Science Radio.
Right?
In fact, someone put up, somebody was making fun of the opening theme music for Real Science Radio.
What? Making fun?
Yeah.
It's a classic.
This is on YouTube. So Tony Funderburk wrote our theme music for Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio.
He wrote it. He wrote the lyrics. He composed it. He performed it.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah.
And so he and I were laughing about this a couple days ago. He said he thinks this is Weird Al Yankovic under a different name.
That's it. Yes. But
let's hear this.
You can't check us out in theater.
That's it. Now you have arrived. That was the Arvada Men's Soprano Quartet.
Yeah, that's what
they on say. You. We've now subscribed to that channel. Actually, we didn't subscribe, but it really you have arrived when you're being parodied.
Yeah, that's right.
On the air, which YouTube is pretty much the air these days.
Yeah. So the March for Science is so ludicrous.
The March for Science.
What they mean is the March for Propaganda. In the name of science.
Yes, yes.
Right, well, because when you reject the creator, then you worship the creation.
Yeah. And they're participating in child abuse. If I could make this point quickly, there was a picture of a 9-year-old kid at the Washington, D.C. rally. He had a sign pleading, save me from global warming. Save me from global warming. It was a 9-year-old sign.
Yeah, 9-year-old kid. The stress, the worry.
I know. I can't believe it.
That there is one kid in Australia, if you recall, he wouldn't wash his hands. He wouldn't bathe because he didn't want to destroy the planet.
Yeah, yeah, right.
He didn't want to use up the water. He'd never been taught about the water cycle.
I guess not.
I mean, you take a shower and the water doesn't disappear. It doesn't get shot out into space.
No.
There's a water cycle. It's really hard to get rid of water. You got to work hard to do it.
That's right.
I mean, it might not be as conveniently located.
Yeah.
To your neighborhood.
No, but you can get it again.
Because of underground aquifers that could be drained.
Yeah.
But it doesn't disappear.
No. Now listen to what they've done to these poor children, Bob. This 9-year-old child was interviewed, and he said this. He said, science is important because without it, we basically will not exist. This is a 9-year-old child. Isn't science, the fact that science exists, isn't that a byproduct of the fact that we already exist? How could there be science without us? There could be us without science. We could be just a bunch of buffoons. But the poor kid.
So they're manipulating kids to global warming and evolution is what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Global warming and evolution.
Well, and transgenderism now. I mean, you can't leave that.
Well, that too.
Latest
because
frontier.
Science would tell us nothing about the gender of a human being. Look in a microscope at someone's, the nucleus of their cells, and look at their chromosome, and you can't see if it's a boy or a girl, right?
Well, I think you might be able to see.
You think?
I think so. I'd have to review my notes, but I think that's possible.
If there's an X and Y chromosome or two X chromosomes.
Right.
It's unbelievable. Doug, it's just.
Well, listen, it's not just the children. Happening. It's also the grandparents. They had a 69-year-old at the San Francisco March carrying a sign that said, love your mother, with a picture of blue, green earth, right, painted in hippie
fashion.
Hate
your father.
Ah.
Love your mother.
Isn't that what it's really about?
That's what it is.
Hate your father.
Right.
Love your mother, the earth.
And the motivation of most of the insanity in the world could be directly related to their hatred of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the insanity in the world, directly related. So when you share the gospel with others, believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Humble yourself before him. Mm-hmm. Ask him to forgive you. When you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you preach it, you're actually helping to strengthen our national security.
Amen.
And the security of the whole world.
It's true. It's very true.
Yeah.
And so the children at Denver Bible Church, they are not concerned that they might not exist without science. Because they were told God's promise from back in Genesis. Mm. God promised that seed time and harvest and seasons will not. They're
summer
going to be
winter.
Here. Yeah, there
right.
you go.
Yeah.
So our kids are not freaking out, worried about wasting a little water and destroying the earth.
No.
They understand the promise of God.
Yeah.
And they believe God.
And liberals are killing their kids and Christians are having more kids.
Amen.
So that does, it slows down their tyrannical reign of the left.
Yeah.
It does slow it down.
It does. It does. But
they have zero kids and a dog, and our average family has six kids.
Yes, yes. I talked with a Denver Bible Church member, a grandfather, who's bucking the national trend. His kids are on pace to have more kids than he had.
Oh.
And I said, you know, you're bucking a whole national trend. Nobody's right. having as many kids as their parents.
Right.
I think he's got 11 grandkids so far.
How about, Doug, for the world, young people are not getting married.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just horrific. Mm-hmm. The demographics are, it was all predictable, and we predicted all this over the years. But major reason beyond video games.
That doesn't help.
It's pornography.
Pornography is probably the biggest culprit.
It's ubiquitous.
Yeah.
And so young men no longer feel like they need to take the time to try to develop a relationship with a woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just absolutely horrific what's happening in the world.
And so developing a relationship is challenging at times. It can be difficult.
Sure.
It takes effort. It
takes work.
And it takes some humility. Sometimes it takes being humiliated sometimes.
Oh.
To have a relationship.
Well, humility could save a marriage.
Absolutely.
Could save a business, save a church. It could prevent a war, humility.
This is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but our young men are not exercising, learning humility by entering into a relationship with a woman, which I can tell you right now, that will teach you humility.
Yeah,
right? It will. And that's what we need. That's what young men need. That's what I need.
Have I been wrong when I've said over the years that men marry up?
Almost every time. You're right. Almost every. There's probably an outlier here and there.
Yeah.
But almost every
men
time, that's
marry
true.
Up.
Yeah. Generally, a true statement.
At least, I know it was true in your case.
Well, absolutely.
I know it was true in my case.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's two data points.
Yeah. And so at least from our perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if I look around at the friends that I know and how they were before they got married and how they are now after they got married.
Yeah.
They married up.
And,
for sure.
You know, the culture tells young women and men, but young women that, well, men are too immature. You have to wait until their late 30s or
so. Oh, boy. Yeah.
And by the time a guy reaches 30 years old, he's almost destroyed his life.
Mm.
He's picked up a couple venereal diseases.
Yeah.
He's developed horrifically bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if he's young, he gets married, he matures. He becomes responsible. And there are two people making decisions, not just this 22-year-old kid making all these bad decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got someone else who wants him to make good decisions.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we need one another.
Her own self-interest can civilize him and vice versa.
Yeah.
Right? We help each other. Yeah, that's important stuff. I had an email exchange with a guy. He wanted to marry a girl. I said, well, how about ask her to marry you next time you see her? And he did, and she said yes.
No, come on.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
You were on that exchange early on.
I saw the first part
he asked
of that
her.
Email exchange.
I know.
And that was so fun. Doug just says, marry her.
What's
the
holdup?
And he says, it's not that easy. And Doug says, why not? Did you ask her to marry you? So I didn't hear this. This is a good development.
So he asked her. She said yes. I said, are you sure she understood the question? And apparently she did. So I'll keep you updated on
that.
All
right, good.
And they're young, too, early 20s. That's the time to do it.
Yeah.
Do it while you're poor and you don't know anything.
And he's a strong Christian. He's a truck driver, if I recall.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Get married while you're young and poor and you don't know any better.
Yeah.
And then you'll be great together.
Right.
It'll be fantastic. Don't worry about it. All right. Now, we talked about the death penalty. There's a war on the death penalty. The death penalty is being obfuscated, delayed, and even if it could be, it's being eliminated in jurisdictions across the country.
And among Christians. Christians don't know
absolutely.
How to defend the death penalty.
No, they don't.
You know, the New Testament is loaded with support for the death penalty.
Well, there's a video that's available from Bob and Yart Live called God and the Death Penalty.
Yeah.
Not to put too fine a point on it, but it's about God and the death penalty.
New Testament support for capital punishment.
Yep.
And there's loads in the New Testament.
Yeah. And understanding the death penalty. God's attitude about the death penalty in the Old Testament and the New Testament, not only does it help you understand the death penalty, but the whole Bible.
Oh,
the whole Bible, the whole story involves the death penalty.
The Bible is a criminal justice textbook, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is based on the death penalty.
Mm. So, I never in a million years would have stumbled across that idea if I hadn't met you. That the foundation of the gospel is based in the death penalty. That blew me away.
And the Father, God the Father's requirement of the death penalty. So for the Christians who've been seduced by the world and by the left to mock the death penalty as though it's barbaric, it's unjust, it's unreasonable. They don't understand that they're undermining the gospel. Remember the Apostle Paul in Acts? He was accused of a crime.
Yeah.
And he said, if I have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. Mm. And that's recorded in the Bible. And over again, the New Testament supports the death penalty. In fact, the book of Hebrews, that those who violate the law die without mercy.
Oh, yeah.
Without mercy. Even Jesus, of course, affirmed the death penalty. Doug, in Matthew 15 and Mark 7, he presents a law from the Bible, and then he says, let him be put to death. That's in Mark 15. Mm. In Mark 7, Jesus is talking about believers who reject the commandment of God, and instead they prefer their own tradition. And then he quotes Moses, and he said, Moses said, let him be put to death. Mm. But you say, and blah, 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 blah.
That's right, that's right. And Jesus affirmed Moses. He
yes.
didn't argue with
right.
Moses. Yeah.
The book of Revelation affirms the death penalty. The book of Hebrews, Paul. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, even in Romans, do not avenge yourselves, but give place to wrath, mm-hmm. for rulers are to be a terror to evildoers.
That's right.
And if you do evil, be afraid, for the governing authority does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath.
Oh, that's such a an insult to the modern lawyerly
Christian
tradition, the Christian.
Yeah.
The attorneys nationwide are freaking yeah. out that you would say that in public.
When the Bible says don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that also includes things like Jesus saying God made us male and female.
That's a big one.
If you're ashamed of that,
yeah.
you are bringing shame to the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're ashamed of the death penalty.
That a capital criminal should be put to death right. upon conviction.
In fact, Doug, there in Indiana, Bob and You're Alive, when we were on TV for years, we're out of Indiana, and there's going to be an execution at midnight. And
oh, yeah.
we went on at midnight.
That's right.
All over the country, 80 cities.
Yep.
And so this guy called in and said, Bob, I work at Indianapolis Power and Light. Tomorrow night for the execution that's scheduled, I have all of our generators. They're all going to be putting out maximum capacity. So the next night we go on the air at midnight.
Yeah.
And the lights are flickering. Bzz,
bzz, bzz, bzz. Yeah.
And so we're affirming, you know, the righteous rejoice when they see the vengeance. That guy who hit that woman in the head and killed her.
Yeah. Down in Arkansas.
Yeah, the left doesn't really care. They have an affinity with murderers mm-hmm. and adulterers and perjurers. That's why they love Bill Clinton, you know, yeah. because he's a lying fornicator.
Yeah.
They just love that.
Mm. And what they don't want to admit is that this guy, the woman could be alive today, and so could the murderer if there had been an effective death penalty in 1993.
Aaron Hernandez.
He could be alive today.
He probably wouldn't have been a homo
well,
or
yes.
experimented. You know, see the system works, right?
Well,
you can't really do away with the death penalty well, because people end up dying when you turn your back on God.
And Aaron Hernandez is dead now.
He's dead.
Yeah.
So former dead. Patriot.
Yeah, on Patriots Day, he killed himself. On the day his team was going to the White House,
yeah.
he killed himself.
Yeah, because of what could have been.
Yeah, it's a shame. It is a sad story, a yeah. tragedy.
Devastating. Oh. But when there's life, there's hope.
Amen.
So everyone listening, we turn to Jesus Christ, and we have eternal life. God bless you guys.